Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, here we are another week, and it's also Trinity Sunday, so the Feast of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That is the big holiday this weekend, the big feast day, following, of course, by just 1 week, Pentecost. I think the event in the Vatican, as brief as it was, that has dominated our news this week, and you and I participated in a conference with this couple, was the meeting between the Holy Father and Kate and Jerry McCann, the parents of the little four-year-old Madeline, who was abducted on May 3rd in Portugal at the resort at Praia da Luz in Algarve, where they were staying. And, of course, there are two-year-old twin siblings, Sean and Amali, and the parents are going to be traveling to several countries in Europe. They wanted their first visit to Rome, which you and I went to a press conference yesterday at the home of the British ambassador to the Holy See, who was nice enough with Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, arranged for the McCanns to meet the Holy Father at the end of the general audience. And they were guests at Ambassador Campbell's house and so forth, and that's where the press conference was. And it was a remarkable event because
Very, very moving.
Very moving because I was saying, I had a live radio show yesterday afternoon, and I was telling Teresa Tamio that Kate McCann, the mother, was the physical embodiment of the word devastation. Just of
anguish,
grief.
She just looked so exhausted.
She looked downtrodden, exhausted,
and just wanted devoid, to get away.
Devoid of emotion. And I'm sure the Foreign Office official who spoke to the journalist shortly before the McCanns came in said, now remember, this is not a couple used to this kind of limelight. They would never, ever seek this kind of publicity or being with the press. They're only here because of a devastatingly awful act that took place. And I have to say that the journalists were really wonderful.
So, well, I felt particularly close to them because we're from the same place. And I went to the same school as Kate McCann. Okay, I was a few years earlier than she was. I'm older. But her parents live just around the corner from my sister.
Oh.
And so there are so many links. I mean, the people of Liverpool have an incredibly close community spirit anyway. We managed to find each other without even looking. And it was on behalf of our local radio station as well that I was able to speak with her. And, you know, when you're talking with somebody who is so close, even though you've never met them, you see the suffering and you can identify. What struck me is that, okay, yes, their dignity, but also they represent in so many ways the children who have been lost through abduction, through trauma, say road accidents, or through illness throughout the world. And so parents who have lost a child, whatever the cause, can identify. And also, she's such a pretty little girl, but she has given a face
gorgeous,
to children
abducted
who have
children.
Been lost.
And as a matter of fact, her father said that at the press conference at a certain point, when asked, what are you taking away from all of this and so forth, or what do you want to achieve? And he said he hoped, among other things, that this would create a heightened awareness for other missing children in the world. In fact, the website, bringmadelinehome.com, and there's no www in there, bringmadelinehome.com, talks about the money that's been collected so far is like £375,000 for helping to find her and so forth, and perhaps even the parents' expenses in, I hope so, in Portugal, because they have no plans to go back to England. They said that they can't even imagine going back without Madeline. But the father did say that he wants part of this money, and I think it says so on the website, to go to create a heightened awareness of other missing children in the world. She happens to have Madeline's family has this enormous network. And, you know, I think the beauty of the child, the physical, she's just one of the cutest or beautiful, whatever word you want to use, children you've ever seen. And that kind of tugs at people's heartstrings. Any four-year-old would. The father did talk about wanting to create a heightened awareness of other missing children. And again, that's what part of that fund is, you know. But, of course, they were in Rome we know, to meet the Holy Father. And they told us at the press conference what a moving experience it was, how very tender and how very compassionate the Pope was.
Well, the Pope has got such a deep love for his own family, and he's got such a high respect for families that inevitably any human being would identify with them. And it was lovely that he was able to speak to them and be close to them and just say that he was praying for them as well.
They're Catholics, if we failed to mention that in the beginning of the show. And so they said they wanted to start their trip around different European countries by coming to Rome. And they thought they were just going to be at the audience, just in the presence of the Holy Father. But they wanted to start their trip on a spiritual note. And what I found interesting, I had heard that they were going to go to Germany, the Netherlands, and Spain. And out of all the European countries, I couldn't figure out why. And of course, they told us at the press conference yesterday they're going to those countries. Those are the nations that send the most number of visitors, of tourists, to Algarve. And because, I mean, I was saying, okay, they came to Italy, but it wasn't Italy, it was the Vatican. How come they're not going to France or wherever? Mm. And so,
but
they,
also, the abduction took place just an hour's drive away from Spain.
Sure, so you right across the border. You know, we might vacation in Italy if the next country up would be Switzerland to the north, or maybe France or something. So a lot of people do go to neighboring countries. In this case, that would be Spain. No, it was a very moving day, and I don't, if you noticed, Kate McCann had ribbons in her hair.
Yellow and green.
A lot of people apparently knew about this. I don't know if they were just British or what. In the general audience, some of the journalists observed that there were a lot of people wearing those colors, which she has done just as her little physical sign of Maddie, as they call her, going missing. And then she has carried that little stuffed animal. Anybody who's interested in downloading, this is what they asked journalists to do when journalists said, what can we do? If you go to the site bringmadelinehome.com, there is an area where you can download and print posters. And the family is saying, print these, bring them with you on vacation. And the site has had 142 million hits. It is truly phenomenal. There's a 2.7 million pound reward out for her. That's very, very close to $5 million. And that's offered by private businessmen, Richard Branson, other names that I'm afraid I don't know as well.
And what was very nice is that the old girls from Kate's class at school, which was also my school as well, they've held a prayer vigil last night for them.
Well, you know, tonight, the May 31st is the rosary in the Vatican Gardens.
Yes, of course, the end of May.
I just have a feeling a lot of people...
And the Feast of the Visitation
exactly,
today.
Exactly, we'll be praying that. It was an amazing week for all of us with that encounter here in the Vatican, and the Holy Father, just by his face, you could feel that. You could feel his feelings and sensitivity. And in the other news this week, last Sunday marked Pentecost, which is the official birth of the church. That's how the church celebrates Pentecost. And I thought it was very fascinating at the Pope's, or Regina Caeli, meditations. He talked about the distinguishing, essential and distinguishing features of the church. Using four words we already know, the church is one. And he explained that, like the community of Pentecost, united in prayer. It is holy, not because of her merits, but her gaze is fixed on Christ. The church is Catholic because the gospel is addressed to all peoples everywhere. And it's apostolic because it is built on the foundation of the apostles. And then he really added to that, the church is by her nature missionary. And then we saw in coming days when he talked about the mission we all have, not just he, the Pope, as the successor to Peter, or the bishops as the successors to the apostles, they're the primary ones responsible, but all of us for evangelizing and re-evangelizing families, friends, neighbors, schools, when we travel, if we have the gospel within us and bring it. And basically, Tuesday, the Pope's message came out for World Missionary Day, which will be next October 21st. And it was very much the same thing as he said about Pentecost, talking about the missionary nature of the church and the missionary task to which we are all assigned.
Well, it was an interesting coincidence, and probably wasn't a coincidence at all, the way God works things, because the very day, almost to the hour, that this missionary message was published by the Holy Father, my own congregation was electing our new Superior General. And as we're recording, they're electing the new General Council. And mission, as a missionary congregation, this is so important for our whole way of life.
Sure it is.
And the Holy Father's message for mission and missionaries, it's just an amazing coincidence that they happened at the same time.
Well, I would read something into that as a missionary order for sure. But it's interesting, in his message, the Pope referred to the fact too that he spoke of the 50th anniversary of Pius XII's encyclical Fide Donum, which promoted and encouraged cooperation between churches for the mission ad gentes, meaning of course to the people. And what's interesting is the term Fide Donum has been used perhaps since this encyclical, I don't know, to refer to priests. Let's just take the case of Poland, a huge number of vocations. Many, many priests, after they are ordained in Poland, they have other languages, they're sent to countries where there's a lack of vocations. And they're known as Fide Donum
priests. Well, we had a Fide Donum priests when I was in Zambia, and it wasn't because of the lack of vocations, but because there weren't enough priests yet to help in all the areas. And so the Fide Donum priests are very, very important in the mission areas.
Well, they are, and whether it's first world or third world.
Oh, definitely.
They certainly are there, and very soon you're going to be having, or in some cases there are actually now, your Africa and Asian priests, seminarians who have, you know, been ordained, they are priests, they are becoming the Fide Donum to Western Europe and to the United States. So it's a very interesting turnabout, if you will. Well, on that note, I think we've probably looked at the highlights of this week.
Yes, but unfortunately, time. Okay. So on that note,
the big
God
enemy.
Bless.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.